As an artist, you strive to be a pioneer, hacking your own path and delving where few have gone before. At first, it's easy to maintain tunnel vision and become embroiled in your own journey. As your fame grows, so does the paranoia. A sideways glance reveals a labyrinth of paths, riddled with fellow travellers. Some are ahead, some behind, but they all appear to be heading in the same direction.
Your direction.
I've been fiercely competitive since primary school, whether it be for cross-country or class clown honours. When I landed my segment on Triple J in 2002, I had the delicious sense of having won. I was way out in front of my peers. I was so amazed that I didn't consider the competition for years. In 2005, after a pissy Melbourne International Comedy Festival run, my bloated ego noticed the supply of sweets being directed elsewhere. The meteoric rise of Flight of the Conchords, The Mighty Boosh, and Tim Minchin swept over me like a whimsical super trawler.
Australia is tiny, so any success anyone has seems to directly affect your potential.
Filmmaker Nikos Andronikos.
When you see someone else's comedy show get up, you can almost say, well, that's the only show that'll get up on this network this year, so that counts me out. Or, you know, it's almost that direct. It's a very, very short butterfly effect.
Yeah.
The how did you get that?
The how did you get that?
Yeah.
With a to set in just, you know.
with just a little bit of why didn't I?
Writer and comedian Fiona Scott Norman.
Yeah. In fact, I was DJing a gig last night, and there was an MC, a performer, and she actually said to me, she said, how did you get your show to the Opera House? And I said, oh, you know, I knew the producer and she liked the show. And she's going, can you pass on my number?
He took a deep breath and peered over the windowsill. Inside, a man was hunched over a table working feverishly. Sparks flew, bathing his face in an unearthly...
In 2005, my ego defeat led me to set up a competitiveness account, MySpace. Lit by the electric shadow of my PC, I hunched over the keyboard like a disabled spy, comparing statistics and doing background checks on my rivals. The popularity-centric platform triggered old high school battles. At 25, it was still a game of who had the most friends and who appeared to be doing better. Playwright Lally Katz.
People aren't really necessarily going for each other here, whereas I think in other places maybe they are more sometimes, whereas people, I think Australia celebrates failures sometimes too. So I think, yeah, and actually wanting other artists to fail is kind of wanting the failure of Australian art in a way.
In the darkness of 2008, with my second album stagnating, my competitiveness went into overdrive. I hated street press, seeing it as a phone book of achievement. It didn't matter if it was a comedian, band, or primary school fundraiser. Anything moving forward only pushed me backwards. As writer Gore Vidal once quipped, whenever a friend succeeds, a little something in me dies. From the ripping velvet of my mucous dreams emerged a black shape. Aloof. Alert. Tails sweeping from side to side. If depression is the black dog, then jealousy is the black cat. If it saw a comedian on TV, its green eyes would glare as it lashed out at the screen. Fuck you! The competition is rigged!
We could do a better job. Why should we languish while mediocrity thrives?
It was protector and prosecutor. A sharp, cruel loner with a taste for its own wounds. Someone who witnessed my black cat firsthand is comedian Sam Simmons.
I remember an optimism in you very, very early, which slipped away. Mm. But the last time I saw you, you seemed way more buoyant. And that was really good to see, because I did see that kind of cloak of blackness envelop you a few years ago. And it was you changed, I changed, people, you know, evolve and change. Can I say that?
Yeah. Yes, I agree with your comments. I am okay with that.
Okay, cool.
I was told very early on to overcome professional jealousy or it'll gobble you up, and I ignored that advice because I've found it thoroughly enjoyable to indulge in personally, like a negative emotion that I really fed on.
Comedian Lawrence Mooney.
And I don't know what is so attractive about indulging in that negativity, but it's like, you know, biting into a mango and just thinking, yeah, I've got it. And if a lot of you, and I would never share that with any of the people who I had perceived, you know, as slighting me or whatever. In fact, you know, success for me helps me become a nicer person. I enjoy success and I'm happy with myself and I'm happy with the world at large.
If depression is anger without the energy, then bitterness is anger without an outlet. Suppressed grief ferments, blending with jealousy to form a cheap, junk emotion. While a bitterness shot provides a quick rush of anger and self-pity, it fails to mask the pain. Musician Jen Clower.
Bitterness cuts you out of... It cuts you out of your own life, and it cuts you out of being in what you do and just honouring it and loving it.
Cartoonist couple David Blumenstein and Sarah Howell.
I get temporarily bitter. I can allow myself a certain amount of bitterness and it falls on Sarah and she wipes it off and I wipe it off her and then that's the end, hopefully. Hopefully.
Then I take you for a walk.
Yeah, walks are good.
How often does David need to be walked?
You know, daily maybe. Is ideal, yes. But a few times a week is good enough.
In 2010, my bitterness plunged new depths. My only child, loner rhetoric, took a dark turn. I was a difficult fuck-up, too edgy for the market. I was experiencing the withdrawal rage of a fame junkie, highly strung, irritable, and paranoid.
With my book, I was, because I had like the bad negative blowback of race relations, I did write my book in this real bitter way, like where I imagined my worst enemy reading it.
John Safran.
And luckily I combed that out of the final draft or whatever, but I was writing it like, to give you an idea, this is how like messed in the head I was. I'd be sort of like driving somewhere in Mississippi and there'd be like pink flowers on the side of the road. I'd go, oh, well, that's, I'll write a note of that because... you know, that's an interesting setting thing, you know, like I'm driving and there's pink flowers. And I thought, oh, my enemy, he's going to be going, Safran doesn't know what kind of flowers they are. So he's just called them pink flowers. And I was actually thinking that. And then I'd like, so I stopped the car, got out and took a photo on my smartphone of the flowers so I could then go back to my dad who knows about flowers and find out what the flowers were just so my enemy couldn't trip me up and say, you know, that's how mad I'd gone. And I was so convinced all my enemies were going to try to trip me up.
The key to overcoming my jealousy was to reach out to my artist community. By writing the book Fun Employed, I created a networking gold card, allowing me to contact anyone I wanted, and sometimes sit with them for an hour over coffee. In the presence of the warm-eyed, wobbly-hearted colleague, I restocked that vital emotion, empathy, and was reminded that artists of all levels were battling away in isolation. We are a sky of satellites.
Instagram I've found really interesting to, I've been reaching out to people in a sort of, I guess an unusual manner, because I would never have done this socially in the flesh because I wouldn't have the balls to do it, but just sort of saying, I really like your work. Do you want to do a swap? And and everyone, everyone has.
Visual artist Ty Snaith.
And I always am waiting for the person to say, actually, no, I hate your work. But no one has. And I think it's this. There's this really nice thing with trading with people without money.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't just, it's not about getting the thing, because you never know what you're going to get anyway. It doesn't, it's not about that. I don't really care what they give me. It's more about the that interaction with someone and actually saying to them, I think you're important, doesn't matter how old you are, who you've had a show with or whatever. And then you create this, well, those communities happen because you're like, you know that there's support if you need it. And it's it sounds so basic, but it doesn't really exist otherwise.
The arts in Australia, it's not so much a rat race than a cat race. It's no wonder we're either hissing at each other or curled up in a ball. Sometimes we tread on one another's paws. Occasionally we pounce on the same songbird. But for the most part, we are prowling our own course. There is an epidemic of negativity in the Australian art scene. It's time we all started taking care of our own backyards. I am one in a million, I am one in a million. There's four more like me just in Melbourne. I know, 'cause I compete against them. They are one in a million, they are one in a million. They know it and act accordingly. I sit here alone in my tree. I'm an emerging veteran, I'm an emerging veteran, and there's four more like me just in Melbourne. When will I have success? When will I have success? When am I gonna be my best? I might kill myself, I might kill myself, 'cause I feel like it could be a good media angle. I won't read into it, I'll just fake my suicide and wait till everybody comes to the funeral. And I'll burst out of the coffin and do a great gig, and everybody will say, oh my God, where can I get a copy of your album? Sure, maybe my loved ones will be upset, but people buy more when they're emotionally vulnerable. And I'll scream, I am one in a million, I am one in a million, and there's four more like me just in Melbourne. I know, 'cause I compete against them. I'm friends with them on Facebook, even though we're not really friends. Oh, I wish I was six again. Everything was so much simpler. I didn't obsess about who got all the sandwiches. What am I saying? I've been competing my whole life. I was one very jealous sperm who said to all the other sperm, don't even think about it. I'm just a man who wants to get his egg. Oh, come on, I'm just a man who's used to getting his egg. I'm just a man who's used to getting his egg, impregnating his mother and giving birth to himself.